Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon on Faith Radio. And there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Hi, welcome once again to Connecting Faith. I always love the opportunity to get together with you each weekday here. And thank you for tuning in and for helping us daily help connect faith to life. That's what we focus on here, especially in the program Connecting Faith, where we can find ways to apply biblical principles to daily life. And just before we get into today's program, I want to remind you that our fall fundraiser is coming up here in just a couple of weeks, September 9, 10, 11. And that's the time when we talk about the financial needs for this listener-supported ministry. And we do have a special opportunity for you. If you're willing to join with us financially, you can sign up and give online. Or if you just actually want to sign up online, we're giving away a free iPad. I had a friend donate one to us, said, why don't you just use it to encourage others to give? So check that out, myfaithradio.com. And when you're there, you can always go to the Connecting Faith show page to find lots of great archived podcasts that we've got. And today's program will be one of those that you'll want to go back and listen to, because it'll just be filled with lots of great practical advice. And it won't cost you a lot of money, which is certainly caught my attention, being fully Scandinavian. And I'm glad to welcome back good friends to the broadcast today. Dave and Claudia Arp, our husband and wife team, who are founders and directors of Marriage Alive International. It's a groundbreaking ministry dedicated to providing resources and training to empower churches to help build better marriages and families. And the Arps are conference speakers, columnists, and authors of over 30 books. One of the more recent ones, the 10 Great Dates series, also written No Time for Sex, the Gold Medallion Award-winning The Second Half of Marriage. They do a lot of media, and we are just honored to have them back with us today. You can find out, by the way, their website. It's marriagealive.com. Dave and Claudia, welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, it's good to be with you, Neil.
We go way back, and so it's kind of fun to get connected again. And in fact, getting connected is what we're going to be talking about today, because this is the new book we want to reference just come out. It's from Bethany House. It's called $10 Great Dates, which, like I said, that caught my attention right away. The subtitle: Connecting Love, Marriage, and Fun on a Budget. And I guess probably the budget thing is always important, whether it's dating or just relationships in general, right?
Oh, I think so. And I think, you know, all of us, with the economy the way it's been, you know, here lately, budgets are important, you know, something that does get our attention.
And when you think of dating, sometimes you just think about, you know, going out to, you know, dinner and a movie and paying a sitter. And by the time you get home, you've dropped, you know, $100.
Yeah.
And so we feel like a lot of couples just don't have that special time together because they think it's so expensive. So, you know, we're ready to stomp out expensive dates and replace them with $10 great dates.
Good. It's a great new book. And just as you might expect, if you've read any of the ARP's works, you know it's just a lot of practical, helpful advice and a lot of fun as well. But I thought we should maybe go back and I don't know, maybe get philosophical a little bit. But what qualifies as a date? And is there an expected outcome when you go on a date?
Question.
That's a very good, yeah. Okay, Clay, what call it? Well, attitude, actually, for us, dating.
We can turn anything into a date.
Okay.
It's an attitude.
Yeah, it's an attitude. For instance, today, we had to drop a grandson off at a doctor's office, and we had some time, and so we had a rock date.
Hey, what was that?
We had a rock date. We went to a rock quarry.
Okay.
You know, with all the builders and landscapers and their big trucks, we were. And we were looking for boulders. We have a little landscaping project we want to do, and we want to put a big boulder out in front of our house. And so we just had a rock day, and we went and looked at boulders, and we took pictures. I mean, we didn't buy anything, so it's a $10 great day.
So I guess, you know, some people would hear that and say, well, that just sounds like you're going on an errand together.
Well, you know, it's an attitude. You can things that you have to do, you can turn into a great date. You know, if you got to go to the grocery store, go together, and you know, you can make it a fun date.
We actually in the book have an errand great date.
Okay, so I mean and I guess maybe back to the definition then. What do we mean when we say date?
Well, I think it means we're setting some time aside for the two of us to focus on each other, to really connect our love and marriage and fun. And that anytime we do that, we can classify that a date. It's not a date to us if you've got your kids around, you know, or other people. This is time for you to focus on each other. And it can be spontaneous. It can be planned. It can be at home. It can be outside the home. It can be spontaneous. Like, we didn't plan to have a rock date today, but we dropped off our grandson. You know, we had 2 hours to kill, and so we were about 20 minutes away from this favorite rock quarry. We love rocks. And so we just went there and had a great time and got back in time to pick him up.
It sounds like it's as much about investing time with each other, right? Just being intentional about it, right?
That's basically the whole purpose of a date, just to spend, you know, focused time with each other. And you can be doing other things. You're going to do other things while you're doing that. It's an attitude. So you say, hey, let's just make this into a date. That's what we did today. So,
were you always, you've been married for many years and have been, you know, helping others and training and teaching about marriage. So is this something that you have just sort of done naturally over the years, or has it kind of progressed to when you started doing the Great Date series?
How do you want to answer that one?
Well, you have to go all the way back to when we were living in Germany. We were there with crew and helping to start the work in Switzerland. They says somebody had to do it.
Yeah.
And we had moved there from the States and a very busy ministry. And we got there and we realized, you know, we've been so busy giving out to others. We haven't been working on our own relationship, and we knew we needed to do something. And an older couple who were like mentors to us said, we're going to keep your kids. We're going to send you out on a date. And we started doing that way back then. And so, of course, when we started doing the 10 Great Dates series and developed the 10 Great Dates program, you know, it definitely energized our dates, but it's just sort of been our passion. And we began to see how when we set time apart, it helped us make our marriage a priority. We were modeling for our children, and, you know, it was building our friendship. And we saw, you know, this is a wonderful way to teach couples how to build a healthy, godly, Christian, loving marriage. And a way they can model to their children. So
I like how you put it, that you're building friendships. That you know, we, I think, somehow assume that, well, when we're married, we, you know, we've done all the dating, the romance, and now, you know, we're friends, and so, you know, no maintenance required.
Oh, how I wish.
But, you know, back then, our very first book came out in the 80s. Remember the 1900s?
Yes.
It was 1983 or something, and it was entitled 10 Dates for Mates. And it was such an absolutely new concept because no one had ever thought about married people dating. And now, you know, we think maybe, you know, we've helped to start a movement.
Yeah.
There are a lot of date night campaigns going on around the country, and, you know, we're very excited to see couples out there and really spending quality time together.
Well, in fact, I was going to ask you a question, if the idea of dating after you're married, if that's kind of a modern notion. But, it really was something we probably didn't think about a generation or two ago, didn't we?
No, not at all.
No, we didn't.
Not on the radar screen at all. You know, and so for you know, for us, when you know, as Clay said, when this older couple, you know, sent us out on a date, and we found, hey, this is sort of fun, you know. So we started doing it on a more regular basis, and actually, people we were working with in Switzerland would say, you know, Dave and Clay, what do you guys? Yeah, there's something different about you know your relationship. What are you doing? And we were sort of puzzled, and so
we also started praying together,
Studying
the Bible together.
That's right,
and you know, just spending that time together. So it just...
It worked.
And so we thought, you know, you can use this concept of great dates to help couples learn marriage skills who would never go to a marriage course or even a marriage conference, anything that had the M word in it. They weren't going to go, at least one of them. We won't say who that might be. But we found that with our 10 Great Dates, you know, it started as a book, then it developed into a seminar, then it developed into a DV-based program. And, you know, sort of the rest is history. But it's been a way that you can get some good biblical skill and research-based information to couples to help them build their marriage in a very fun way, and they don't realize what's happening.
Well, and of course, there are many of us that are married that don't really realize what's happening anyway. But that's a whole nother topic. I think for another time. But we're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more with Dave and Claudia Arp about their latest book. It's $10 Great Dates: Connecting Love and Marriage, Love, Marriage, and Fun on a Budget, and it's just one of the many great date series from Dave and Claudia Arp. And they've also co-written it with Peter and Heather Larson. It's just chock full of practical advice and the things that you can do that don't cost a lot of money but are really going to build your friendship and relationship together. So more with Dave and Claudia in a moment. They're founders of Marriage Alive and authors of more than 30 books and have been helping encourage, train, teach not only churches but individuals to really love and care for one another in marriage. And we want to get to more with them in just a moment here on Connecting Faith. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we have connected with Dave and Claudia Arp today, talking about their latest book that they've co-written with Peter and Heather Larson, who they do a lot of work with together in terms of the training and marriage encouragement. Dave and Claudia are founders of Marriage Alive, and they've authored, I guess, almost three dozen books. The latest we're referencing is from Bethany House. It's called $10 Great Dates: Connecting Love, Marriage, and Fun on a Budget. And before we maybe get into some of the ideas, all the practical ideas, and get some of your favorites, I'm interested to know, is this more about quality or quantity, or is it both?
Well, I think it's a little of both. This particular book, $10 Great Dates, it sort of hits the sweet spot in a way. It's sort of between. I mean, there are a lot of books out there that have just great, just fun ideas, things to go, you know, do on a date. And then our 10 Great Dates DVD based program is fun, skilled, research based. You know, has more of an educational element to it. And this is sort of in between those two. So they're fun dates, but they do have a purpose. They're designed to help you, you know, build your emotional connection with each other.
We maybe it'd be good just to explain how we formatted the dates.
Yeah.
So that we could do that, so it could be fun, but it also can be enriching their relationship at the same time. We give the idea of the date and tips for before your date, what to do, and on your date. But then for each date, we give talking points, something that's going to keep the conversation positive and lead it in a good direction and keep it centered on the couple and their marriage and growing their marriage. And then after the date, we have a great date takeaway, which is just a short paragraph of, you know, okay, so how can we apply what we've talked about on this date to our marriage? Hmm. And so that's why Dave calls it, this is a sweet spot, because it's in between the fluff books on dating that are just, you know, one and two sentence ideas. Yeah. And some are fun, some are sort of crazy.
Sure.
And then, you know, the other side where you have our skill-based dates. So it's sort of in between. And I think it will appeal just across the board to couples who just feel that need to connect with their spouse.
Interesting. You talked about talking points because I'm thinking that, you know, many of us have sort of maybe lost our ability to really communicate deeply, or maybe we never did, although I assume that we would have had to do some communicating before we got married. But and of course, now we have all the personal, you know, media that sort of keeps us from talking anyway, even when we're together.
So, Well, you know, and having the talking points, it helps because, you know, sometimes, you know, Clyde and I will be going doing something and she'll say, well, Dave, what are you thinking? You know, and I'm let's see, what am I thinking? Was I thinking something?
Yeah.
And, you know, or she'll ask me.
You know, men are the only people who just can not think.
Yeah, that's amazing.
In fact, yesterday it wasn't yesterday, the day before yesterday, we went on the six-mile hike. We're big hikers.
Yeah.
And I just made the comment to Clyde. I said, you know, when we see other people, if they're two ladies walking together, they're just chatting. You know, I mean, you can hear them, you know, feet, you know, yards away, you know, just talking up a storm. You see two guys, you know, hiking, and they're just sort of hiking. You know, very rarely are they talking. And if you
they're looking straight ahead.
Right. And then if you see a couple coming along, unless they're, you know, not married. They're just walking, and usually one's in front of the other. You know, the guy's walking, and she's, you know, three paces behind, as it should be, right, Claudia?
Yeah, sure.
Well, we'll talk about that after this interview.
So, but, you know, us guys, we just need a little help. It's not that we don't want to talk, or that we don't have something to say. We just need a little encouragement in the right atmosphere to sort of spark good conversation, and that's what, you know, these dates are about.
Yeah. Helpful, practical advice. We're going to dig in some more. I just thought maybe before we talk about that, one of the big issues maybe that, you know, and you sort of alluded to it right at the beginning, the idea of a $10 date maybe is a little unrealistic. If you got a couple with kids, you need child care. So what's your advice about saying, well, yeah, I want to do more dating my spouse, but I don't have the budget for it?
We actually have a section in the book called Cheap Child Care Options.
Page 187.
Okay.
That give a lot of really good tips for being able to take care of your children and still keep your date under $10. One is to do a daytime date. If you can meet during the day when, you know, maybe the kids are in school or you can swap off with friends, you could recruit relatives if you're lucky enough to have relatives in the area or grandparents.
Or like we did, we adopted some grandparents.
Yeah, we did.
Our grandparents were lived far away, so we just adopted an older couple, and they would come in and take care of our kids occasionally.
Or you can trade places with other families. Let them come stay with your kid, bring their kids, and you could even go to their house for a very private, lovely, romantic date, and then change out with them. We also have a whole section on at-home dates. You know, if you have a little bitty children, then they probably go to bed in time for you to have a date after they're in bed. So there's several other suggestions, too, but that's just not an excuse because parents who have small children really need dates. They really need to connect. And, you know, that's one reason we did the 10 Great Dates program and encouraged churches to be that extended family and keep the kids while the parents went out on dates. And a lot of churches do have just date night outs where they will keep your children and you can go out.
Well, you just bring it up. Are there seasons when, or maybe, I guess, years perhaps, where it is, I mean, spending time investing in your spouse is always important, but are there some critical times when, you know, this is not just a good idea? I mean, it really is necessary.
Well, I think, you know, at least for us, we found when we had young children that was one of the times that we had to be more intentional. I think, you know, we sort of laugh about it. We think that, you know, we were living here in the States. We were, you know, on Campus Crusade, and we were very busy, and we kept on saying our whole relationship took place at our front door. I left early in the morning to teach a Bible study, come home. Claudia would pass the kids off to me, and she would go teach her Bible study, and, you know, and we kept on saying, you know, we need to, you know, spend more time together, but it was always next weekend, next, you know, it's always something in the future. And so the Lord in his wisdom said, Dave and Claudia are not going to get their act together here. So we'll just move them to, you know, southern Germany and plop them down in this little village. And
that's where we were when this couple really reached out to help us. But, you know, I think that the first time they really need to work on dating, it's pretty simple and easy until the kids come along. But that first child, we actually had a double date last Saturday with a young professional couple that we've been so fortunate to influence and do a little mentoring with, and they have their first baby. And so, you know, we were talking. Actually, we gave them this book as a baby gift and encouraged them, you know, grab the moments, put little Nathaniel to bed, you know, don't neglect your relationship, because they want to do everything right with this baby.
Yeah.
And they're just so focused on him, as they should be. But, you know, our challenge to them was, you know, it's okay to leave him for 60 minutes or 120 minutes and go out and have a date.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be okay. He'll be here when you get back. Another
time, you're not saying leave him alone, right?
No,
yeah.
No,
oh,
no,
yeah.
Absolutely
yeah.
Not.
Yeah.
Another time is, you wouldn't think about this, but when you have teenagers, it's a very stressful time on a marriage relationship. And so that's the time you need to really protect your relationship and make sure you're staying connected.
Yeah. Well, as you know, my kids are grown, yours are grown as well, but it's still important at this age too, isn't it?
It is. You know, we also have a book, 10 Great Dates for Empty Nesters, because it's really important. Right now, with so many kids being dropped off at college, parents are going home to rattle around in these houses. It seems so empty and hollow, and the kids take all their energy with them. Now's a great time to re-energize the marriage by having some great dates, so they might want to check that out as well.
Well, we want to, by the way, encourage everyone listening today, if they maybe got a favorite date and you want to just submit something. In fact, I think they can probably send something to your website, right? And you'll pick out a couple of maybe winners or something, or ones that maybe were new and fresh to you.
Yes, they can. Actually, our updated website is 10greatdates.org.
Okay, the number 10, right? 10 Great
The number dates. 10, greatdates.org. And it's a place they can send us a message and just say, well, I heard you on KTIS. Here's our dating suggestion. And we'll pick several of the best ones and send them a gratis copy of the book.
It'd be wonderful. The book is called $10 Great Dates, Connecting Love, Marriage, and Fun on a Budget. And it's written by Dave and Claudia Art, Peter and Hillary Larson. Dave and Claudia with us today. We're going to continue on a discussion. Maybe just a little preview. We sort of touched on some of the ways the book is laid out, but there are a half a dozen or so various kinds of dates. Why don't you just sort of summarize that, and then we'll break it down more detail here coming up after the break.
There are actually eight categories. There are adventure dates. There are out-of-town dates. There are at-home dates, which we referred to before. And obviously, there are romantic dates. They're outdoor dates. So there's, you know, different categories that sort of fit your mood and what you're sort of interested in.
The marriage pick-me-up dates are more skill-oriented. Things like having a marriage checkup or a family tree great date or making a bucket list, things you want to do. They're seasonal specials. And then the last category is unique and unusual.
Okay.
So taking you a little bit out of your comfort zone, you know, doing something different. There's a lot of research that says, you know, spending time together and dating is really good for your relationship, but it's even better if you do something different. You know, it's good to go out and have dinner once a week, but doing something different stretches you and really adds a spark to your relationship.
We'll get more on those opportunities to grow and stretch and strengthen our relationship coming up in just a moment as we talk more with Dave and Claudia Arp. We're talking $10 great dates, connecting love, marriage, and fun on a budget here on Connecting Faith. You're listening to Connecting Faith, and we're focusing today on connecting love, marriage, and fun on a budget. That's the subtitle for a new book from Dave and Claudia Arp called $10 Great Dates. And if you're like me, you appreciate that dollar sign. That's sort of the right denomination that interests me. And we're talking with Dave and Claudia. They're founders of Marriage Alive, and they've written more than 30 books, and they have developed teaching and DVD series, and just really committed to helping us make a marriage all that it can be and all that God intended. And so we're getting some great insight and advice from them today. And so we just touched on, just before the break, some of the categories of these $10 great dates. And I want to follow up on that, sort of the doing some things outside the comfort zone, because I think, you know, we all, you know, some of us are maybe more romantic than others. So is it important to stretch ourselves, or should we just do something that sort of fits our temperament?
I think it's good to stretch yourself, you know, from time, you know, not every week, but, you know, just occasionally do something that's really, you know, a little out of the norm, out of your comfort zone, out of the norm. And you know, sometimes you try something and it, you know, it may suit your personality, but not your mate. So, you know, well, okay, we tried it, but that didn't work too well. So, you know, let's try something different. And so there are 52 dates in here. So there's bound to be some that are going to, you know, be outside your comfort zone, but that both of you could really enjoy and get into.
And by, I suppose, having 52, is there a recommended that, you know, do this every week if you can?
Oh, that's great, Neil. Yes. it's a good habit to develop. You know, if you strive to have a date every week, you're not going to hit it probably every week, but you're going to hit it maybe every other week or more often than if you didn't plan at all. So
is it a couple hours or just the time length not the issue?
You know, it depends on what you're doing. You can have spontaneous dates. Some of these ideas you can do, you know, just like Dave and I found ourselves with the 2 hours this morning, and so that we could go to the rock quarry and have a rock quarry date. But we were at the mall the other day returning something, and Dave said, oh, you know, I almost stopped by Chick-fil-A and got a milkshake. And we said, well, hey, what's wrong with that right now? Let's have a milkshake date. So we went and we got our milkshakes. We sat down at a table. We took a picture of our two milkshakes. And, you know, just goofed off. And it was fun.
Yeah.
And it's not something we would normally do.
Well,
so we just called it a milkshake date.
Yeah, it's not something we normally do because Claudia is very diet conscious, you know. Milkshakes seem to have calories and stuff in them, and sugar and that kind of thing. So usually she says, no, we're not doing that. But, you know, she said, hey, okay, why not? Let's just do it.
One fun date is gifts on a budget, great date. And you go, like, to the dollar store, and you each take $5, and you separate for maybe 20 minutes and see what gift you can find for your spouse for $5 or under.
Okay.
And then get back together and give each other your gifts.
Well, I like the idea, too, that you you got the milkshakes and you took some pictures, that there is something about sort of some mementos or some memories here, too, right? It's not just
about
getting together. So,
yeah.
Right. There's a photo date. You go to your most favorite spots, maybe when you were dating or over the years, and, you know, take your selfies and... or set up a tripod or whatever, you know.
With the technology today, there's just so much you can do that you couldn't do earlier. It's amazing.
Yeah. You talk about, you're both the hikers, love to hike, and I know you've got the section of the great outdoor dates. You know, when the weather's great, I mean, I guess even if it's not, probably, it doesn't mean that you can't get out and do some things. But give us a few ideas on, let's just talk about some great outdoor dates and how you made them special.
Okay, this is from the Larsons. They love to do this.
Okay.
It's called Movie on Location. So they will take their, iPad or wherever they have the movies, and they'll go, when they lived in the Twin Cities, they would go, I think, maybe to Lake Harriet, take a blanket, and sit out under the stars and watch a movie.
Hmm.
You know, that they had downloaded on their laptop or their
just for a different setting, right?
Just for a different setting. There's another date that's sort of in the same vein. It's called Time Travel. And on this date, you know, particularly if you've been married for a while, sometimes it's really beneficial to go back and think about, you know, well, how did we fall in love? Where was our first date? What did we do on that date? And what was it about you that attracted me to you? And what was it about me that, you know, wanted you to, you know, to marry me? So, but on this particular date, this time travel date, you go back in time and say, what was the first movie that you saw together? And, you know, like for us, it's I don't know if the movie's even available anymore.
It was a summer place.
Yeah, a summer place. And, you know, so you get a movie that was, you know, one of the first movies you saw, and you go out and you watch it, and now what memory, and then talk about what are the memories that you, do you remember this movie the way, is the movie the way you remembered it? Is it different? It just opens up some conversation about, you know, when you first, you know, fell in love, when you first started going together. And that can be very powerful in re-energizing a relationship.
You as the book, as you described, you've got the section, kind of the idea, then before you date, and then on your date, and then the talking points. Talk a little about the before. Is it something where you decide together, that you're planning it out, say, all right, we're going to do, here's where we're going to go, or is it just one of the spouses says, here's an idea for our date night? I guess you set aside a time first, and then just someone decides then what you're going to do?
Yeah, you could take turns. I mean, you don't have to do it together. You can do it together, but they're just all the dates are really flexible, and you don't have to do them exactly like we line them up. But we give the idea that gives you the big picture, and then like one date that we like is the lobby hopping date.
Okay.
Now we live here just outside of Washington, D.C.
And we got a lot of great hotels, and so the idea is you visit upscale hotel lobby and just enjoy the sights and sounds. You watch the people come and go, and it's really fun. And if you want to be a little cheesy, you can actually just meet and flirt and pick each other up in the lobby. But beforehand, you know, one person would research what hotels are in the area and check online for, you know, you can see pictures of the lobbies, pick the more romantic ones, and then just, you know, whatever you need to do beforehand, and one person, you know, can do that, or you can do it together.
And then when you get to the hotel, and if there's, you know, and usually the hotels are sort of bunched, so you can go from one lobby to another lobby.
Sure.
And what we sort of enjoy doing is you know, saying, going up and saying, you know, is the honeymoon suite available? You know, we'd like to.
Yeah,
you know,
we may want to come here on our 50th.
can we check it out? And it's sort of fun just to go up, you know, see some of these really nice, I mean, really, some of these rooms are really incredible. And, you know, we'd never go there, but it's just sort of fun to think about it.
That's the old joke. I take my wife to some of the nicest restaurants in town. Sometime I might even take her inside, but that's
it.
It sounds like you guys just, did it take a while for you to kind of build up to this where there's, you really have gotten to love and enjoy it? And obviously you said some of them didn't work out so well, or, you know, do we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to say, well, if we're having a date, it's got to be special. It's got to be really meaningful.
You know, if you only have one date a year, that would be true.
Sure.
You know, if you're trying to have a weekly date, you know, it's just fun. You look forward to the time together. And, I don't think that couples necessarily, this book definitely would not put pressure on them. Instead, it would take the pressure away because it gives them the framework and, you know, even gives tips on their date. And then the talking points I especially like because it helps them to stay positive and it helps them not talk about work, their kids, their mother-in-law, or whatever. And so, you know, it's just helps them to focus on each other.
Actually, that's a very good point. We have some sort of guidelines or something. These days are not to talk about your mother-in-law or talk about your finances or talk about the kids. These are, you agree ahead of time, we're going to go out on a date, we're going to focus on us, and we're going to talk about the talking points and you know, not talk about these other, if you need to talk about those other things, then you'll have a business meeting.
Sure.
Talk about those and then go out on your great date. But Neil, one of our phrases that we use a lot is, fun in marriage is serious business. Fun in marriage is serious business. We've never met a couple on the way to the divorce court who were having fun. You know, they may be doing some other things, but you know, in our culture today, we really want that emotional connectedness. We want more intimacy in our relationships. That may not have been true of our parents or our grandparents, but in this generation, you know, that's what they want, and that's what we want. So it takes time. You have to be intentional if you're going to develop that intimacy and keep it. Keep that closeness through all the different stages of marriage.
Well, I like the fact too that you've always been so good at helping us, I guess, with the questions too. Like you say, you know, we may not want to go to a weekend seminar, but just to have a few questions to start or keep a conversation going can go a long way.
Oh, it can, because you know, as we said earlier, us guys, it's not always the guys, but usually we're the ones who are a little sort of reluctant to talk, and so the questions, as Clay said, the questions have been phrased to move you forward in a positive way, so that it doesn't take you into negative territory.
Because that, I guess that's the question. If things aren't maybe going completely smoothly with your spouse, maybe your inclination to say, "Well, I'm not gonna. I don't want to do a date. I don't want to even be with this person right now."
Yeah.
If you go back, like, to the lobby hopping date, some of the questions that you would have them ask is, you know, what do you like about this hotel? Would it be a good setting for an overnight getaway? You know, might be the beginning of saving up some money for a great date that is cost over $10, but, you know, maybe for an anniversary or a birthday. And so also, while you're sitting there in the lobby, talk about the first time you saw each other. You know, what was it that really attracted you to your spouse? And what do you think attracted your spouse to you? And then the last question is, what are some of your spouse's most endearing qualities? You know, it's just geared to be positive and to bring back some really good memories. Actually, professionally, this would be called emotional focus therapy. Because, you know, if you're in a blah spot or, you know, just a so-so spot, if you think back to when you first met and you fell in love and you were so excited, you begin to experience those feelings from years ago, and it can really energize your relationship.
Such encouragement, as always, from Dave and Claudia Arp, and we're going to continue in a moment with the Moores. We're talking about their latest helpful guide, I think we'll put it that way. It's a short little book, only, under 200 pages, but it's just packed full of great ideas. In fact, it's great dates. That's what Dave and Claudia have been doing for a number of years. And these are all the ways that you can have a great time for $10 or more or less. It's $10 Great Dates, Connecting Love, Marriage, and Fun on a Budget. Dave and Claudia Arp, founders of Marriage Alive, with us today. As we mentioned, if you've got a great date idea, one that you've really enjoyed or that's worked for you, you want to just drop them a note, you can go to 10, as in the number 10, greatdates.org, and there's a little comment section there, and you can send something along, and they'll pick out one or two from those who are responding to the program today, and send a free copy of the book, and you can just expand your library of good ideas that way as well. So stick with us. We'll continue the more in just a moment here on Connecting Faith with David and Claudia Arp. Back with more here on Connecting Faith. Dave and Claudia Arp, my guest today, as we talk about $10 great dates and getting wonderful insights on some things that we can do that don't cost a lot of money. Are there some, Dave and Claudia, that you maybe have not really found, you wish you would have done something different when you've done these? I mean, you've had plenty of experiences to be intentional about dating. So, some things that didn't work so well and how you've maybe improved your dating over the years as you've been doing this.
Well, a date we had recently, we do seminars in Europe, and usually in the month of May, and then we're going back in October, and we love going there that time of year because we'll end up in the Austrian Alps for our hiking dates, and we love hiking in the Alps. So we were having a hiking date in May, and we wanted to hike up to where we had hiked with one of our sons and his family a couple of years ago, but we didn't want to go the long way, so we found a trail that was shorter.
The shortcut, okay.
A shortcut up to the top of an Alp is a mistake.
It is a mistake.
It is a mistake.
Yes.
We soon realized we were over our heads. We were going straight up. We were rock scrambling, but we realized that it was harder to turn around and go back down than to keep going up. You get to that point.
Yeah. Well, it was so steep that my knees wouldn't have taken going back down.
Sure.
So I took classes. You know, it's up. If we do anything, it's only up.
Yeah, and then my heart was just going. It was just racing, you know, and we were up at a high elevation. And so, you know, every few hundred yards, I had to stop.
It's like every 10 yards.
We looked in a backpack, and we had some aspirin crystals. You know, and so that was one mistake that we made. We did make it to the top, and then we came back the long way.
Yes.
But it turned out to be a nine-hour hike.
Mm. But there may be a little sort of life lesson of you, but sometimes it's just you almost just need to keep pressing forward rather than trying to go back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you can learn a lot. In fact, Claudia did a blog just recently about what you can learn on a hike.
There's a wonderful blog, a daily blog. It's 1corinthians13.org, I guess, is the website where you can sign up. But the Larsons write, and we write, and a lot of people there. So we just did a blog about hiking together.
All right.
And what you learned.
The lessons we learned hiking.
The importance of staying on the trail and having a destination knowing where you're going.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about sort of the destination that, you know, you're doing these great dates. You're finding inexpensive ways to connect. And as we've talked about, whether it's, you know, out-of-town great dates, or it's at home, or it's outdoors, or romantic getaways, or whatever it might be. Do you have some advice on sort of how do we maybe keep the benefits of that date when we get back into the busyness of life? I mean, is it, you know, but does one date a week equal, sort of a higher level of intimacy? Or, I mean, you know, do we sort of two steps forward, one step back kind of thing?
Well, you know, that's a good question, and it's one reason we did the great date takeaway at the end of each date. It gives them something to go home and think about and apply some truth to their marriage. And, you know, we would encourage couples to look for ways to connect at home. The last book that we did with the Larsons was 10 Great Dates, Connecting Faith, Love, and Marriage. It's a little deeper. There are 10 dates, but it goes really deep into spiritual themes of ways that we can connect our faith and our love. And we actually have short Bible studies for each of the dates as well. So, you know, find some other resources. We love the devotional Jesus Calling that we both read and, you know, talk about. And so, you know, find other ways between your dates at home to connect. Of course, we think, we know that our relationship has been so blessed by the times we pray together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's not always been easy, but, you know, as we got into it, it really makes a big difference.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you guys have been doing, helping marriages for many years. I mean, going back, a number of years, and it's a little perhaps disconcerting to see how, little maybe enthusiasm that seems to be for marriage in today's culture. Just maybe say a word about that, and particularly for Christians that, maybe are being influenced to say it's not all that important or critical.
Well, it's critical, and it's important, and it's biblical. So,
It's really sad. Our culture is just not really marriage-friendly right now.
Yeah.
And yet we believe that a loving Christian marriage is probably the best evangelistic tool the church has today. And that when we are loving each other, we're that lighthouse, you know. In Genesis, we're told that God created us male and female in His image. You know, together we can reflect God's image. And so when we are loving each other and lifting each other up and honoring one another and spending time together and we like each other and we're friends.
And forgiving each other.
And forgiving each other, yes. And forgiving each other and forgiving each other. But we can become that lighthouse. And it's just so critical. I mean, you'll put us up on our bandbox here, but, you know, we believe that couples just have, in marriage, we have this just wonderful opportunity to bless others.
That's really, I guess, at the heart of a good relationship anyway. It's about others instead of ourselves, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. And, you know,
one date I love is the gratitude great date.
Hmm.
When you just take time to think about all you're thankful for and you think of others who have really built into your life and you go out and you do something nice for them, take them a meal or cookies or whatever.
Dave and Claudia, I want to just get some more encouragement maybe for marriages that, you know, are just kind of going through a difficult season right now and thinking particularly as you know, we've talked over the years. I mean, you're empty nesters now, so that's a whole different season. We got the Grandparents' Day coming up here in a week and a half or so. Maybe say a word about even into your grandparent season, the importance of building in your relationship and the importance of dating.
Well, I think in the grandparent season, it's even more important because not only, through the years of marriage, not only were we modeling for our children, but now we're modeling what a healthy Christian marriage looks like to our grandchildren. And, you know, we did some research back a number of years ago at the United Nations, and we were trying to figure out what makes our spiritual values passed on, to the next generation. And one of the things that was very consistent, no matter what nationality you were talking to, it was the grandparents who passed on, and the grandmother specifically, who passed on the spiritual values to the next generation.
And traditions.
And, yeah, it was just amazing. So we have, as grandparents, we have a tremendous role to play and modeling to our kids because, their parents are, they're busy, they're going here, there, and yonder, and, we can be that sort of calming influence in their lives.
And I'd say for especially the parents who are dropping your kids off at college, there is life after the kids leave home. It's your second half of your marriage. That's one of our the first book that we did on empty nest years, but it's like you get another chance at marriage, and you can reinvent your marriage. Whatever problems or situations you've faced in the past, you have the opportunity to reinvent your relationship and to rediscover each other and to energize your marriage. And one way to do that is dating. And that's a way to start. But there are challenges that we face in the second half of life. So you have to learn to let go of those past disappointments and unrealistic expectations and to forgive each other and to vow together to make the rest the best and to transition from a child-focused to a partner-focused relationship and reinvent your communication and rediscover the second spring of love. And you know, and to grow together spiritually and serve others. It's just such a rich time of life. By far, it's been the best half of our marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So hang in there.
Yeah.
And however difficult it may seem, you know, it takes one heart for God to begin to work in a relationship. And there was a research project done with couples who were in very dysfunctional marriages. And so they went, they watched them, and then they went back, was it 5 years later?
5 years. Uh-huh.
And of those who didn't divorce, who hung in there, 5 years later, 8 out of 10 said their marriages were very functional, were happy. So we know that...
Something to be said for sticking in there.
Yeah. Stick together.
All right. Well,
so the book that Clay was talking about is The Second Half of Marriage.
Yes. Great
book. On our website.
You can find out more. Check out 10greatdates.org to get update on the resources and help available from the ARPS. Dave and Claudia ARP, husband and wife team, founders and directors of Marriage Alive International, and author of some 30-plus books, including the one that we referenced today, $10 Great Dates, Connecting Love, Marriage, and Fun on a Budget. Guys, it was fun to talk with you, and blessings. Thanks for the great work you're doing and for joining us today in Connecting Faith.
Thank you, Neil.
Always great to talk with you.
You can find out more about today's program. Check out the podcast online at myfaithradio.com and click on Connecting Faith.